Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the call for our Q1 trading update. I'll just start with a very brief overview of today's announcement, and then we'll go straight into Q&A. During the quarter, we traded significantly ahead of the market in the U.K., despite the government restrictions that were in place for almost all of the quarter. Our total U.K. accommodation sales were 11 percentage points ahead of the mid-scale and economy market. As expected, and as a result of the ongoing government restrictions, total U.K. accommodation sales were down over 60%, with food and beverage around 86% down versus quarter one 2019. That's the last year of trading before the pandemic. Since the 17th of May, when we were once again able to welcome leisure guests for overnight stays and fully reopen our restaurants for indoor dining, we've seen strong trading and encouraging trends driven by the anticipated post-lockdown bounce in leisure demand. We're seeing very strong forward bookings in tourist locations throughout the summer and improved forward bookings throughout the majority of the estate, and we're also seeing a continued gradual increase in business demand. In Germany, 19 of our 30 operational hotels are open, and occupancy levels are improving in a challenging but recovering market. Our accelerated pipeline growth continued in the quarter with three new hotels added, taking our open and committed pipeline to 73 hotels and over 13,500 rooms. We'll continue to look for opportunities to grow both organically and through acquisitions, with a focus on ensuring good returns. Investing to win in the year ahead is imperative to driving our outperformance. Our Rest Easy campaign is driving strong website volumes, whilst our improved business account management, relaunched business booker tools, and enhanced travel management company distribution will all help the recovery in business demand. We're continuing to invest in our product and room refurbishments to ensure that our hotel estate remains well invested. We've also recommenced the rollout of Premier Plus rooms, targeting 2,000 rooms by the end of this financial year. We believe our long-term strategy is highly compelling. We see a significant opportunity for our business to leverage the competitive advantages of our scale, ownership model, strong brand, market-leading direct distribution, and broad customer reach. As we've already seen, we have clear evidence of this in our strong performance versus the market so far. In both the U.K. and Germany, our financial strength will enable us to capitalize on the enhanced structural opportunities that will exist, investing in our customer proposition when others are constrained and driving long-term value for stakeholders. I'll now hand back to Nadia, who can host the Q&A. I look forward to hearing your questions. I have with me Nicholas Cadbury, our CFO, and Paul Timms from IR.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypads. If you choose to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. Our first question comes from Bilal Aziz from UBS. Bilal, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. Good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. Just two from my side, please. We've clearly all discussed at length over the past year the sustainability of Premier Inn's U.K. outperformance, which may have been helped during the restrictions. I appreciate it's very early days since those were eased, but at least relative to the market, it feels like you're holding on to some of those outperformance gains. Just comment on that, please, as initially you've got some cleaner data, perhaps. Number two, more broadly on the pricing strategy, you've mentioned it a few times today. Just how are you currently thinking about potentially using pricing to sustainably take market share or versus pricing for higher occupancy as and now you're starting to see it? Thank you.
Okay. Well, we'll play tag team, Nicholas and I. I'll start for each of the questions, and Nicholas will come in as well. In terms of our U.K. outperformance, yes. First of all, I guess we're really encouraged by the trading. The start point is we're encouraged by the trading performance since the 17th of May. We definitely saw the leisure bounce that we expected, albeit I think it's been stronger than we would have anticipated, and we're seeing very positive trends throughout, you know, the rest of the estate, not just sort of travel and leisure destinations. So we had a real advantage against our competitors based on both the commercial initiatives that we've undertaken, the brand work, the work we've done in the background on the way that we interact with the customer, the way that we drive volume of direct sales, the way that we drive our business accounts, credit management, business book at all, travel management companies, the whole raft of sort of self-help that we did. We also, of course, played a very strong card on making sure people felt safe with our COVID secure environment, you know, booking safely and then booking with flexibility by changing our rate classes to allow for, you know, fully flexible bookings plus partially flexible, but always with a mind to the fact that people want to be confident when booking. So that's given us an advantage. You know, combined with our domestic skew, we've come out of the blocks very quickly compared to everybody else, and that's allowed us to take some early market share gains. I mean, we wouldn't expect to keep the level of outperformance that we're seeing now, some of which will still in part be about the 4 and 5 star market not opening as fast as we have, and when they come back. If they all come back, of course, we'll see how that plays out. But we're expecting to maintain some outperformance over the long term period. Nicholas, anything to add over?
No, just say we're pleased with it. You know, we saw particularly in May, particularly the second half of May, you saw leisure customers coming back, wanting to stay, and they wanted to stay somewhere that they could trust. And you know, I think with the help of our advertising campaign that we ran in May, April as well, it kind of gave us an extra awareness and boost front of mind as well.
Yeah, and in terms of pricing strategy, we very clearly set out we've been pricing for occupancy. You know, it's been quite difficult to predict pricing market dynamics, you know, through the pandemic and then as we come out of it. And the recovery for us, we want to be occupancy level led from very low levels of occupancy, get that up and then start to recover our price. And you can see in the outperformance that that is working well for us. That strategy is the right one, allowing others to take our occupancy by pricing too high early on would not have given us the outperformance that you've seen, nor the ability to maintain brand presence in the market. So, but what we are seeing, you know, one of the dynamics in the market is late booking. And so we, you know, a higher proportion of people are booking later in the cycle than would have been the case pre-pandemic. And so, we've not got a huge amount of sight of the sort of mid-term here. So we are seeing our rate increasing week on week. We're focused on rate. We will undoubtedly in the tourist destinations in the summer have very strong rates, with strong occupancy and strong rate. Now we've got the occupancy at the right levels, we will now be focusing on improving the rate as part of the strategy. Not at the expense of occupancy, though. Hopefully that answers both questions.
That's very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Vicky Stern of Barclays. Vicky, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning,
yeah,
Vicky.
Morning. Morning. Just firstly, on the nature of the recovery in recent weeks since that May the 17th opening, just if you could flesh out a little bit who's been travelling. Clearly, many more than just accounted for by your 15% of hotels that are sort of obvious holiday destinations. So what sort of leisure travel has been coming back, and I guess what hasn't? I'm assuming that's a sort of big event piece, but just a bit more colour on what you're seeing in terms of the nature. And you mentioned a bit of a further improvement in business demand. Just wondering if any of that's white-collar business travel, that's still mostly blue-collar at this stage. And then related to that, anything in recent weeks' performance or in the news flow we've had, I guess, since you last reported, that makes you feel in any way different about the fate of the independents? Obviously, we've had full reopening pushback, but the rent moratorium's extended now into next March. International travel's not coming back quickly. There's been a bunch of different stuff going on, and just curious how that sort of makes you feel about the domestic independents.
Okay, so nature of recovery, quite similar to how we talked about this 4 or 5 weeks ago, in that strong bounce in leisure demand. I think that's broader and stronger than we thought. As in it's taking in more than just the traditional bucket and spade seaside areas. So we're seeing a broader recovery in occupancy across a much wider variety of places across our estate. The obvious exceptions to that recovery are London and airports, which are both still pretty tough areas to be trading in. But broadly across our estate, we're seeing a good occupancy recovery across the board. So in leisure, that's obviously not event driven, and we do benefit from events, all types of events, sporting and leisure events. That's not back, clearly. The football matches, weddings, etc., haven't been back in this period. But we are seeing lots of travel for people just to have, breaks away, overnight stays, trips to family, getting out into the countryside, even city breaks. Even our city, with the exception of London, even our bigger cities are showing good high levels of occupancy and recovery. So that's been very pleasing to see, and probably the difference from when we last spoke would be that's been stronger and looks more sustained than we had originally hoped. And on business demand, continued blue collar worker or trades working stays with us, and that had been through the pandemic. We've seen that, but we've still seen the gradual improvement in that as well, and the start of business travel that's not quite that trade led. Again, not into London and not into airports, because it's not international in nature. But we are definitely seeing some recovery in what you'd call non-trades related business, and that's probably a bit stronger than we thought as well.
You can see that through our March to May build up of occupancy, which was pleased.
Yeah. And then in terms of your question on independence, it's quite anecdotal at the moment. Anecdotally, we are seeing a lot of independents not opening or being up for sale. In local markets, lots of local B&Bs and small guest houses and, sort of country house for sale signs, if you go onto the estate agent's website. And so whilst we haven't got anything that I think you could hang your hat on, I think... we would, it's a bit too early for us to be fully sure that operators aren't temporarily rather than permanently closed, but there is quite a lot of anecdotal evidence that, quite a range of independent hotels are for sale or not reopening. So we'll just be keeping an eye on that, as you would expect.
Great, thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jamie Rollo of Morgan Stanley. Jamie, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, Jamie.
Thanks. Morning. Thanks. Just two questions, please. First, just really back to the pricing, and also if you could talk about yield management. I'm really wondering how price sensitive demand is. I mean, it sounds like you've been very surprised by the strength in leisure. You must have been running over 80% in maybe early June. And I think you also said that pricing will improve from here. Do you think perhaps you undersold yourselves in the first quarter? And how are you sort of managing the yield management with that sort of very uncertain demand outlook? And then secondly, is there anything more you can add on labour cost inflation stroke availability, please?
Nothing undersold in quarter one, because we were essentially restricted until the 17th of May, which is pretty much the entire quarter. So we only had 10 days at the end of the quarter where we opened up for the what we now know as the leisure bounce. In leisure destinations, as we might have said before, but maybe not, we didn't start in leisure destinations with a pricing ladder that started at low rates. So, you know, we knew that there would be a leisure bounce for, you know, a substantial proportion of the summer. And so our you know, our yield management systems just simply started at higher rates. So in many of those locations, you know, the typical ones you'd think of, the Bucket and Spade, Cornwall, coastal areas, you know, the yields on those hotels will be very good through the summer, because we knew that the demand would be strong and it was sort of set up in the correct way up front. Across places like city centres where there have, you know, there was no forward bookings in the quarter, and where we're seeing demand come through now, you know, obviously we manage on rate on a dynamic basis, and as we fill hotels then the rate increases. But we are still competing, you know, with competitors that are offering very low rates, and there is some price competition in there. So, as I said, what's worked in terms of performance against the market is keeping the occupancy out of our competitors' hands, and you know, taking that that booking rather than losing it to them. And you know, what now we have occupancy, as you go through the occupancy curve, the rate comes through as the demand comes through. So we're pretty comfortable that the strategy we've adopted today has been the most sensible and appropriate one. And yes, we do think we will get more rate through as the year progresses if the demand sticks and we don't see any sort of backward slide in the autumn. Second question on labour. So, yeah, I mean, it's well reported across the industry that there's quite a crisis on labour, you know, for hospitality generally. And in fact, you've probably seen a lot of commentary in the media on members of the sector who just can't open because they haven't got labour, or you know, they're coming back to reopen and aren't able to do so, or are very constrained in capacity. And so, you know, hospitality sector scrambling en masse to reopen has not helped that. For Whitbread, we, you know, as always, we're in a slightly different position. We, you know, we've had the benefit of using flexible furlough, which means, and we've also had the benefit of being open in our hotels all the way through rather than closing them. And that's allowed us to rotate people on shifts and keep them engaged and involved in the business in a better way. A lot of other operators in the sector actually were cash constrained so much that they wouldn't use furlough and they laid off their workforces, because of course under furlough you still had to pay the national insurance and pension contributions, and so for some people that was a cash flow step too far, and so they're recruiting from scratch as opposed to bringing people back from furlough. So we managed to keep hold of more of our teams than anticipated. We've now got a much more flexible workforce, which was a situation that we put in place during lockdown, as you know. So we've been able to flex hours up to meet demand. It's not a perfect model by any chance, and it is quite a big step up in demand. So around half term, we did struggle in some places, and we've got some hot spots. We're not immune to the problem, but although I think we're faring better than most. And we've had some hotspots, particularly coastal. And, you know, of course, we'll be looking very hard at places, coastal areas, where we normally have a seasonal workforce anyway, and we'll have to recruit for the summer on a seasonal basis. So we may start to see some of that play through into salaries. But if you're thinking about the ongoing issue of, therefore, salary appreciation and inflation, it's worth remembering that last year, at the start of the pandemic, we made the national living wage rise, which is a 5% increase to all of our staff, even though the government said that it wasn't required to be made. We chose to make it. Of course, most of hospitality didn't. And we've just put in another national living wage increase just in the last few weeks. And so we've already got, to some extent, a relatively good position in terms of base wages. And we'll monitor it closely as we move forward. Is that helpful, Jamie?
Can I just pick up on some of the first question? I was really talking about the last 4 weeks. It'd be helpful if you could break down that 27% drop in sales. It sounds like, you know, rates over 20% down within that. But are you saying that should now improve?
It was. You're right. It was occupancy led in terms of 74% occupancy. So that we were 27% down sales, which was mainly in rate overall. We'll have to see, Jamie. I mean, I think there are rate opportunities as we go through the summer. But as you know, as we said, we've got very short lead times into bookings at the moment, so we don't get much warning about the demand at the moment. So we think there are opportunities, but we'll, as you said, our priority is to get occupancy first.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Jafar Mustari from Exane BNP Paribas. Jafar, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Two questions for me, please. So firstly, just on being occupancy-led, just so that I understand that the total improvement in trading since the 17th of May has been around plus 50 points. Of that, occupancy, I think you're saying, was 50% early May, is now 75. So occupancy is about plus 25 points better. Would that suggest that average prices are already the remaining plus 25 points, i.e. that they're about half of the most recent sequential improvement, or am I
missing? I don't think we're going to get into weekly pricing, I'm afraid. Sorry about that. We don't even get too carried away ourselves by weekly pricing, particularly when you've got a half term in there, which does distort things overall. So.
Okay, I understand that. But, so occupancy you've disclosed, so that it was 50%, it's now 75%.
Yeah,
super. So secondly, I don't think we've seen a full update on your dynamic pricing engine in a while. So if that engine is going to be quite key for the next months, can you maybe just remind us how sophisticated it had become pre-COVID, how many hotel categories? I think you had at some point 80 different price ladders. You were doing daily differentiated segment pricing. Have you added to that to make the engine
We continue to improve our, it's not a static thing by a long way, so we've gone a long way from 80 price ladders, it's your individual hotel by the hour, kind of where we are now, so it is very sophisticated. I mean, the only thing that we've had to react to is it works off algorithms and uses previous trading history, and the previous trading history has been quite difficult to read, so we've had to adapt it quite significantly, but then a huge effort by the team as well to be kind of keeping an eye on it and being able to manage it, override it wherever it needs to be.
Yeah. So, as Nicholas said, it is a sophisticated tool. It is a permanent work in progress. So, it never ends. We never stop working on the improving it and tailoring it and tinkering with it, et cetera. So, we continue to work on sort of the data analytics and AI analytics that sit behind it to make it perform better. The shock of a pandemic and a closure in the previous year definitely impacts it. So for a good example would have been actually the intervention we make for what we projected to be a strong summer of leisure demand. Those bookings would not have been in the system in quite the same way year on year. So in order to manage the yield for those, we would intervene and essentially guide the system to do a steeper ladder and start at a higher base pay. So it this year, because of the nature of the situation in previous year, we've probably intervened more than normal, but it is a good solid system and it does its job when its base prices are input and its ladder based on occupancy is input, it works.
Super. And so these beasts usually feed on historical data, as you said. So today, what's the input? Is it becoming a lot more manual?
Not a lot more, Manuel. No, mostly what we'll do is if we have to intervene, we just amend an algorithm. We'll amend part of the system and, give it a steeper curve or a shallower curve, depending on what we think the market, that individual micro market, and we do go down to micro market level, what we think we would be seeing in those micro markets. And it continues to operate in every hotel as an individual hotel, and it is an hourly, it's almost minute by minute system reacting to demand into that site and bookings into that site and driving the price and yield off the back of where it thinks we should be.
Just because we're a bit short of time, we'll probably move on to the next
question. Interesting. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Our next question comes from Leo Carrington from Credit Suisse. So, Leo, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, Leo.
Good morning. If I might ask on the net room additions, Q1 seems to be quite a good result versus the sort of framework outlined with your full-year results. Is some of this the sort of delayed openings from last year coming through, or are you just simply finding completions and openings to be progressing better than anticipated? And then looking back a bit further, do you have a view on how your room openings have been doing compared to the other budget branded peers, both the sort of direct peer and some of the asset light names? If you could sort of outline how you performed versus that, that would be very interesting.
Yeah. So the short answer to question one is yes. So lots of things slowed down last year. We had quite low openings overall for the year, lower than many previous years. And some of those were, delays at our behest if we were controlling the site, or during the early stages of the pandemic where we had the opportunity to slow down. And others were developers, obviously, who were off site for at least 3 months of last year, and therefore development slowed down. We had a good scrub of our pipeline last year, so we also reviewed all of the pipeline to make sure that under more subdued conditions and with lower MPVs based on a first 18 month post opening slower position from COVID, that we still had good returns across that pipeline of openings, which we now do. So it's a good strong pipeline, and so those additions that you're seeing, there was the highest first quarter room opening results we've ever had, certainly on my watch, and that, as I said, was mostly the overflow from last year coming through into this year. In terms of sort of our position versus others, we have historically always opened the largest numbers of rooms in the sector. We've been a grower of the estate, and the asset light's been broadly flat, bit of growth. Travelodge in the last year or two, put on some rooms, 1,000 rooms, 1,500 rooms.
Travelodge got about 1,000 rooms this year, maybe from prehistoric, but pre-signed ones. But I think in the first quarter, hardly anyone's opened any rooms at all. I think we're quite...
quite unique. Yeah, so that's not unusual.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Leah. Thank you. Our next question comes from Joe Thomas from HSBC. Joe, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning. Again, a couple of questions, please. One, I was very encouraged to hear that the city breaks are coming back through. Just wondering why that might not be London so far, and presumably you would expect that to come back as we get into sort of summer holidays and things. Perhaps you could give a bit of detail, just some early thoughts, I suppose, on that. And secondly, the uptake from the business travel booking systems, is that still something that you are working towards, or is there any early evidence that that's coming through already? Thank you.
Just to the TMC, what's the last one? Yeah, I mean, we're working hard on TMCs. As you know, we think it's a bit of the market that is untapped for us. It's about 15% of the business market, which we haven't played in. So we think it'll be a big opportunity for us. It mainly services kind of international and white collar workers. So at this time, it's probably the segment of the market that is that hit the most overall. So right now, it's a relatively low level of sales rate. But as that market recovers, we've used the last year to build those relationships, build those contracts up in place. So we think it'll be a good part of the business when it recovers. But right now, it's quite low.
And if I take the question on London, London and airports are the two areas that are the hardest areas in terms of being tough still. And yes, we've been pretty pleased actually with how broad the recovery has been in our estate across all the other parts of the country and other types of hotels, city, urban, rural, tourist, etc., small, medium and large. So, you know, to get to the sort of levels of occupancy we're looking at, that needed to be quite broad. But London and airports, obviously, no one's travelling, and London is, you know, don't forget the demand in London is dominated by business travel, white collar, and international travel, so generally. And whilst we haven't historically played certainly on the inbound market, we've been domestic focused, there isn't that sort of there isn't the thrust of demand yet in London, and there isn't that recovery. And you know, by the look of it, we're not going to see that until the autumn in terms of any form of sort of returning to normal business work in London, particularly following Boris's announcement of a 4-week delay. I suspect the working from home directive probably stays in force for a lot of companies in London. So I'm sure there will be some leisure travel, some domestic leisure travel in London, but that doesn't make up the bulk of the London market, and they will need to see business demand and international demand return to London to make it more vibrant.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Brignall from Redburn. Alex, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello. Good morning. Hi, Alex.
Morning. Hi, Dean. Thanks so much for taking the question. I've just got one, and I guess it relates to what you just alluded to from this kind of travel guidance and restrictions from the government. Again, not wanting to get too kind of short-termist, but what kind of trading do you see around some of the comments like Portugal coming off the green list? I'm just trying to work out, because we saw a big spike in sort of staycation searching when that happened. I'm just trying to work out how much of the leisure strength you're seeing this summer is because the travel restrictions have been worse than we thought about 3 months ago. Thanks so much.
I mean, to be fair, the strength of the leisure demand for the summer has been there before the recent announcements and the recent changes. So what we don't see is a sort of an instant reaction to everything. I think we did see an uptick in bookings after the first announcement, which actually had a very low list of green countries, with or without Portugal. But we didn't see much of a change in anything post the second announcement where Portugal came off the green list. That didn't, you know, sort of spike. So, yes, of course, I suspect that this year the UK's tourism industry will definitely be enhanced with the notion of staycation and the difficulty people are having in thinking about travelling overseas. I'm sure that is the case, but we don't see an instant reaction to every piece of news flow. And of course, our business is much broader than those staycation travel resorts, which is only about 14% of our estate. And we're seeing the recovery across the broader part of our estate rather than just those tourist coastal locations.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ivor Jones from Peel Hunt. Ivor, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ivor.
I just wanted to check the changes in revenue that you're talking about. It's net revenue, isn't it? Which follows on to ask, when we get to September and when VAT goes back up, I think I know the answer to this, but you won't be saying the government's put VAT up, we have to put prices up and try and protect net revenue that way. You'll just carry on with pricing policy as it is, I guess.
Yeah, it's net revenue because we dynamically price. You know, you have to react to the market. Whatever the market does, you react to it, and where the demand and supply is. So it's quite difficult to predict what benefit or disadvantage you get as VAT moves overall. You know, hopefully it's the VAT. I hope everyone moves up with it, but we'll wait and see.
that 27% down is a bigger percentage growth than the most recent period.
So the 27% down is
in revenue that you're reporting for the most recent trading is net revenue, so gross revenue is down materially more than that.
Because of the indicator, correct.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And the other thing, I just wondered if you talk about your thoughts about serving delivery meals from the restaurants now that the hotels are starting to recover and business is back. I wonder if your position's changed or developing. Thank you.
No, not particularly. No, we've at the moment we're sticking to reopening and serving in house and in home. We did look quite a lot, as you might imagine, at how a takeaway service would work for us during the lockdown period when we were essentially looking for all ideas for generating revenue. But it's not quite as easy as it looks to either launch or indeed make it profitable and return appropriate returns led. So no, we're not looking at that at the moment.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Ivor.
Thank you.
I think we've probably got time for one or two questions more if there are one or two left.
And that was our final question, Alison. So did you want to, do you want me to do another reminder or are you happy
no.
to conclude?
I think our teams would all know how to lodge a question, so it looks like we are done. So just a thanks for everybody's time and attention this morning and look forward to seeing you all soon. Take care, hopefully in a Premier Inn.